Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap, a podcast about the Chicago Bears presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300, and you can follow our main account at Bears on Tap. You can follow my co-host, this guy right here with the Go Team hat on. Love the hat, Quentin, at Butkus Stats. But how are you today, my guy? We got Thursday Night Football going on in the background as well.
I'm good. I can never lose with this hat on because it's just rooting for team. Go football team.
Go team. Yeah.
My favorite hat.
And this week, always a winner. We got a real go team type game, right? Like, you got a lot of former Bears over there on the Falcons. Oh, yeah. You got Ryan Pace over there calling the shots. And the Bears travel to Atlanta to play against the Falcons, who are on kind of a skid right now. They played a little bit of good ball at the beginning of the season, but then, you know, the season settled down a little bit. And then the Falcons eventually remembered that they were the Falcons and losing in just heartbreaking fashion. And even last week, they got dominated by the Panthers, just went in there and just ran the football down their throat. So a team that we could definitely beat. But a thing that you brought to my attention in the pre-show was it's the carbon copy of what the Chicago Bears are if you had to put a team that is exactly the same as us right now.
Yeah, and every, like, stat you can look at, everything that they're good at, that they're bad at, like, it's like the Spider-Man meme of them just, like, pointing at each other. Like, Bears, Falcons, this year, they are so damn similar. I mean, at least as the Bears, we have Justin Fields. You know, that's the saving grace for us. We have him. He's the future. Falcons don't quite have that. They have a quarterback who has some solid speed and they can use on read options in a lot of the same ways, and that they try to play in very similar fashion, but doesn't have the deep ball, doesn't have the running ability that Justin Fields has. But they can't stop the run. The Bears can't stop the run. You know, they like to base everything in their offense around outside zone and read options and maybe a little wide zone. Sounds a lot like the Bears, doesn't it? I mean, it's very similar.
I got a little excited when you mentioned Fields, and I had to, like, fact check to see that this was not the stadium that he played the Sugar Bowl in and just clapped Clemson out in. But yeah, Justin Fields in a dome hits different. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Like, he's going to get out in some space. They're not going to be able to stop Monty or Herbert. Oh, we got to talk about Herbert too. I forgot about that. We got a big injury that he's going to be out for a little bit of time. But Montgomery, Ebner is going to get an opportunity this week. Fields in open space. Like, it's almost just like he's going to get 100 yards each week. It's just a matter of, like, at what point in the game does he go over? And then I saw another stat too that, like, he just continues to break, like, a new record each week. Like, he has the most rushing yards in, like, a 5-week span or something. Like, this kid is just playing absolutely out of his mind. And I also want to put to bed, like, because there's a lot of negativity and a lot of bullshit on Bears Twitter where it's just like, well, he can't throw the ball, or he's not throwing the ball. Right now, we're running an offense that's catered to him. If we're able to move the football on the ground by his legs or by the running back's legs, and that's the way we're getting points, so be it. When he's had to throw the football, he's done a good enough job. He just doesn't really have the guys around him right now to really make the plays. Cole Kmet has started to make more plays. Darnell Mooney, ever since we brought up, like, in week two or week three that he was playing a little bit down or maybe more attention was on him, has played phenomenal. But other than that, it's like you don't have a guy that you can dial up on third down and you know it's a lock he's coming down with it for a first, you know?
Yeah, no, you don't. And I love your point about playing in a dome, like on turf.
No, I mean, elements, no snow, because it'd be many, terrible this week.
You know how many times Fields has done that as a Bear?
Zero?
Three.
Okay.
At the Raiders last year, which was, like, you know, he was still very much, like, not in the offense yet. And then at Minnesota this year, where he looked really good. And at Dallas this year, where he looked really good.
That was the first time. That was, like, the first time on offense they were like, holy shit, like, 29 points against the Cowboys. And it almost, I mean, they would have covered if they scored a little bit more in the garbage time, but they were neck and neck, and then they had that like crazy fumble play with Micah Parsons, and then the rest of the game was history. But yeah, honestly, this game is set up like we've been talking about for the last week or two. Like, it's going to be one of those weird games. The Falcons always play in, like, these shootout games. And even if it's not a shootout, like, we're looking at, like, a 19-16 if we don't get a shootout. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be a one-possession game. It's going to be close. And one thing, too, is, like, neither team really has a quality defense. Both teams have more than enough guys that may not be top-end guys in the NFL, but you see them putting up big numbers and making plays week in and week out. Like, in Atlanta, they have young receivers. They have guys like Drake London, Kyle Pitts, who's their second-year tight end that they still quite don't know how to use. But, yeah, it's
if Mariota would stop missing him deep,
well,
he'd probably look pretty good.
Mariota's not good. Algiers looked good for them at the running back position. And then Cordarrelle Patterson is a jack of all. Yeah. He is always finding a way to get in the end zone every single 16 week.
Touchdowns in 22 games as a Falcon.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Matt Nagy didn't know what the hell to do with him. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very frustrating stuff. But a team that, listen, I know we've said this before and we'll say it again before the season's over. When I did my preseason article on, like, the wins total and, like, where our wins were going to come from, this was a team that was in the category of probably should be. Now that I said that, it's going to be crazy. But dare I say, like, do we get, like, that Justin Fields moment this week? Do we get that Bears down 21-17? We need Fields to orchestrate a drive and get that final touchdown, maybe a little bit like the Nick Foles magic a few years ago?
I mean, I think so. I honestly think this is very, like, I probably don't have real reason to think this way, but, like, everything I have seen tells me that Fields is a guy who shows up for the big moments, the big games, you know, under the bright lights. This, for him, this game's as bright as it gets. Doesn't matter that it's not Monday night, Sunday night. His whole family's going to be there. All his friends are going to be there. He grew up like 25 miles north of Atlanta. Everyone who knows him from his life before he was a football star is going to be there for him in that stadium, and he's going to show out, I think. I mean, you might not say that's sound reasoning, but I think he's going to play a hell of a game in front of everybody who helped him get where he is.
And that is the meatball moment for the week with Quentin. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, in a dome against a terrible defense,
yeah,
in front of all his friends and family. And the thing is, too, like, we've said it before about Justin Fields. He's never come off as, like, an arrogant guy. He's never come off as someone that doesn't make the people around him smile and laugh and be happy to be around. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
he's never been a bad locker room guy. When Georgia decided that Jake Fromm was a better quarterback than him, which is still absurd to me to this day.
Cost him an Natty.
Yeah, cost him an Natty. He decided, okay, I'll be the better guy. I'll go to Ohio State and I'll earn my way. And he eventually had a great career. And I'm sure at some point we'll probably go to the College Football Hall of Fame.
Where would Joe Burrow be today if he didn't do that?
Honestly, probably the Cleveland Browns instead of the Bengals.
Would he even be in the NFL?
Maybe not. But I just said wild. I just said Cleveland for chaos. but yeah, dude, like, starts his career at Georgia. Like, could you imagine? I don't know. That would have been more storybook, like, obviously, if he was able to play at Georgia, but they messed that all the way up. And I don't think Jake Fromm is even playing football anymore. Like, even in one of these, like, smaller leagues, like USFL, XFL, none of that, which XFL is back, I did see. Did you see that other day? They were running the draft on ESPN, I saw.
We're going to see what The Rock's cooking pretty soon.
Yeah, hopefully. But, yeah, it's a team that, yeah, they're probably going to score their points, but they're also probably going to do an equal amount of dumb shit that it's just like, okay, like, we're going to capitalize here. And Marcus Mariota also, too. I don't know if you saw this last week. Let me start to die in here. Let me get some water. Marcus Mariota last week had arguably the worst pass attempt in the history of the NFL. I don't know if you know what play I'm talking about, but if you watch any moment of last week's game, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't. I didn't see it.
Dude, so he got like swung around and he like planted the ball on the ground with his hand to stay up and like all in one motion tried to do like a cartwheel type throw of the ball. I'll send you a clip of it and hopefully the video guy can maybe get the clip worked in and we can use it for the preview. But dude, Marcus Mariota was looking very sus out there against the defense and the Panthers defense that, like, come on, they just gave up like 52 points to the Bengals the week before. Like, they're not, you know, they were coming off giving up 37 or 35 and losing in overtime because Money Eddie couldn't finish the game for them. And then the week after, they get absolutely smoked by the Bengals. So it's not like they're a quality defense. So,
yeah. I mean, the week before that, they lost to the Panther, or no, they beat the Panthers in overtime after like letting them get a miracle Hail Mary to put it into overtime.
Outside of that Bills game that just took place that we were watching before we started recording the other day, most chaotic game of the NFL season. Because I also, at the time, we were getting ready to record, I remember. And it was one of those grim Sundays where I wasn't even good enough to call myself Jeff Fisher. I was just over. And the last leg of the like save me parlay was the Falcons money line. And after Koo hit the field goal with 38 seconds left, I'm like grabbing my laptop, getting everything ready to get started. And I turn around and I'm just like, what? Touchdown, missed extra point. And then Mariota got picked in overtime too. He is in the Kirk Cousins bracket of if you pressure him, he will poop his pants and throw you an interception.
In that game, that went to overtime is what I reviewed this week for them. Like it was clear the Panthers were like, we're gonna come at you with blitzes because we're worried about your run game. We know you want to throw deep. We don't believe you can throw deep.
Yeah, he can. And
that's what they did all game. And I mean, the Falcons still put up points. So, I mean, I don't know if it was the right strategy, but I can't say it's the wrong one either.
Who the heck is their backup, dude?
Oh, it's Desmond
Ridder.
Yeah.
Dude. All right, here's one for you. If we get out there on Sunday and it's halftime and Mariota is just stinking up the joint, do you think maybe at some – because at some point this season they're probably going to go to Ridder, right?
I mean, you've got to by now, right? I mean, I don't think the season's kind of fallen yet.
It's fallen off the wheels real quick because they were in a good position a few weeks ago when the Bucs were losing, the Saints are out of it, and the Panthers – they effectively eliminated themselves losing that game in overtime. Not that they were ever really in it, but you know what I'm saying? Like that division was the worst division in football for the first 2 months of the season. And they were at the top of it, if I believe.
I mean, the Falcons, they have a chance to be in the hunt.
They're like 4-6. I think their record is.
Yeah. They're 4-6. They got the Bears. They got the Commanders. They got the Steelers and they're on the bye week.
The Commanders might be the best team in football. I don't know, man. They beat the Eagles. And like, talk about Ron Rivera just played, I'm not going to give you the football ball. Like, hey, that's beautiful. I love that.
Man, I'm all for it because it makes the Bears look better.
Really, you know? We still play the Eagles, right?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, like week 16 or something.
No, but you know what, though? I don't even care if we win or lose. That game I'm using as a baseboard for my Justin Fields is better than Jalen Hurts argument.
There you go.
Head-to-head matchups. So it's the only way, right? Who won the head-to-head? But
yeah, we're just head-to-head.
Well, yeah, maybe just like head-to-head on passing yards or rushing yards or something like that because I don't think we're going to win that game. But, yeah, we're really in just – please get me to the off-season mode, right? Like, after the last few weeks have – and I'm a very optimistic guy, right? Like, I hold on to hope until hope is no longer. And, yeah, there's no chance they go to the playoffs this year. They might hit the win total. Yeah. I think they could still probably hit the win total. And I think just, like, kind of the goal is for the rest of the season is to really find out who you have with you moving forward, continue to see what you have from Justin Fields, and – fuck, stay healthy, please. Because I don't want to see, like, any of these guys going down late in the season, you know, when the games really don't mean all that much when they're already out of it, you know?
Man, I'm just knocking on wood. I hate playing on turf.
Yeah.
Terrifies me. It ended Tariq Cohen's career. Like, turf lets your body do things it's not supposed to do. It, like, it allows you to push your joints harder than they should.
Yeah.
Because you're going faster than you would on grass. You're cutting harder, and it makes it tougher on your ligaments. So, knock on wood. Stay safe this weekend.
Yeah, stay safe this weekend. Stay safe, my friends.
I saw something that in the coming years there might be something from the Players Association that every stadium needs to be grass. Actually,
I saw a lot of players tweeting about the fields this past weekend after the games, just like basically saying like we're playing in the most like sought after league in world sport. Like, what the fuck are we doing playing on fields that are hazardous to our well being? Which makes total sense. It's kind of like the argument that we had last week when we were talking about, like, why do we still use the fucking chain gang and shit like that? Like, we have come so far in so many aspects in our great game, but we all are still very archaic in so many things that we do.
There is a GPS tracker in the ball.
Yeah.
we just don't use it.
Yeah. No, why would we
use makes all that? The sense in the world.
Makes no sense to use a GPS tracker, yeah. There's a lot of stuff that they should probably do, but... Yeah, I don't know. I think this is going to be an electric game. I think it's one of those games that if you like get up to go grab a drink or to like go make a sandwich in the fridge real quick, you're probably going to miss something exciting. Like, I think that even though I talked about the over being a lock a few weeks ago, that was when they were still giving us overs of like 39 to 43. We have been upgraded to an over that is requiring 50 points to score. And I think that because I said it, even though I don't have an actual system, I think I actually have to take it just because I'm a man of honor, but I don't like it that much anymore.
No, I mean, I'll probably bet it, but I don't really, I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't love it as much as the other bet. Yeah, I'm looking at it as a challenge. Like, I'll be standing on every third down, and that's one thing too, that like the Bears have been breaking our heart these last few weeks with just close games that they've slugged it out with good team. Well, one good team. Lions aren't a good team, but they slugged it out with the Lions. And listen, man, we talked about it on the pre-show. We never fucking lose to the Lions. And when you lose to the Lions, even if it's just once, that's just like a theme of how this year is going, right? You pop off like a couple good teams. You hang with the Dolphins. You hang with the Vikings, who are the fakest 8-1 team in the history of 9 games into the season. And honestly, like until the Packers beat the Cowboys last week, I was very excited looking at some of our late season matchups. Like even when we play a team like the Bills, like I still think that, yeah, we're going to lose that game 100%. But are we going to see our young quarterback go toe-to-toe with some of the game's greats and just continue to match drives? Which of all the things that we're asking of Justin Fields, the most that we can ask him is to give us 7 every time he goes out there. Now, obviously, that's not possible. We're Chicago fans. We don't understand that. But find a way to just keep moving forward as an offense and just, I guess we're just going to have to eat our words and deal with what we got on defense. Jack Sanborn, though. That's my fucking dude. And yeah, I see that he's been getting
– The statue fund's in progress.
Yeah, the statue fund is in progress. He's been getting a lot of love. And then, too, I saw a tweet that it was like – it was talking about, you know, Jack Sanborn's never going to be Roquan Smith, right? But he's 50 times cheaper. You know, he's on a rookie deal. He is trying to prove himself in this league. And, I mean, I don't know. We're on a defense where, honestly, anybody should have the right to be able to walk into Williams' office and be like, look, I'm better than this guy. Let me prove it to you in practice this week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a couple guys that don't, you know, won't get ganked. But for the most part, there's jobs to be handled. And A.J. Clown also – it's a clown. A.J. Klein also got released yesterday.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, he got released. Yeah, he got NBA trade specialty. They just cut him in the middle of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's two-way street with the Jack Sanborn thing, though, too. Like, Roquan Smith is never going to fill a run lane the way Jack Sanborn does.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's just never gonna hit the lane with that type of intensity and power. But that being said, he's going to – the coverage part is probably more valuable as a linebacker. So like, that's where it's like, if Sanborn can just be half what he was and keep hitting those run lanes the way that he does, it's more than enough, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, Jaquan Brisker, probably one of the best pickups from the draft this year, offense, defense, no matter what round you're looking at. Like, that's a guy that came in, fit the scheme right away, has immediately made an impact. And, I mean, I know we were all really excited, like, all four of us. I know Ron and Joey aren't with us right now, but very excited when we drafted him. But never did I expect him to be playing, like, at the level that he's playing this year. So that's another guy that I'm looking to have a big game out there in Atlanta this weekend. And then I think I have to find a book that offers this, but I think it's a BoJack pick six week.
I think it is too.
I think it is, dude.
Mariota's struggles throwing deep combined with the fact that they throw deep like the fifth most of any team in the NFL. I mean,
and not to Kyle Pitts.
Well, they try to. They try to throw deep to Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and it doesn't really work. Now, because I said that, it'll probably work this week, but it can't work every time. Their offensive philosophy is beat you to death with outside zone and then run play action off it once your linebackers cheat up and just throw right over the linebackers' heads. That's what they want to do all game.
I feel like every time their game comes on my screen, it's like Algier or Patterson in the flats and then just running up the sideline after.
Yeah.
Because that's about as far as Mariota can throw.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he throws deep more than most quarterbacks. He throws short less than almost any other quarterback. They don't throw to the behind the line of scrimmage or short very often relative to other teams. I mean, you're still going to see him do it, but it's not as often as most teams. Almost everything they do is in the intermediate to deep range of the field.
I'm still not scared of Marcus Mariota. He's basically the new Drew Brees in that division. Like, just absolutely cooked. The team still somehow trots him out there every week. And, yeah, the running back situation that they have going on, a lot more worrisome than the quarterback and the receiver ones. Like, Cordero Patterson, you know that, especially coming off of, I think he only had 6 carries against Carolina last week. You already know that he's going to probably double, if not triple that.
Yeah. I mean, he was just coming off the injured reserve too. So like they were probably just slowly ramping him back up. He's going to see more touches this week, I imagine. But at the same time, Algier's shown him a lot too. Like I think it's going to be a committee going forward.
Well, and I got to see how old Algier is, because I know he came from BYU. So
I'm guessing like, 24.
Yeah. He could be like 32 years old and just have man strength, but yeah, I think that I don't know what to pinpoint this game on. I really just think it's going to be a game that maybe you need 5 defensive stops, because I feel like points are not going to be at a premium. Like, I feel like points are going to be pretty expendable in this game. The over-under is going to be a challenge for us, but I think we have to stick to our guns, even though I don't like the number nearly as much. But I think that, dude, do we really think we're not going to go into Atlanta and score at least like 24, 28 points, right? It's not too much to ask.
That's the new normal, right?
It is. Yeah.
That's what feels weird, though. Like, it's like we're like skeptical. Can we count on this?
Yeah. Like, can we count on them to get 4 touchdowns or to get 24 points? I think we can each week, especially against teams that have similar level of talent or are in our, like, just kind of same tier in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's
watching the Falcons defense, it's weird. Cause like we all know Dean Pease, right? He was the Titans defensive coordinator for the last, like, since Vrabel's been there, like, has created some very aggressive, creative defenses there. And I was expecting to see on the tape their defense to be a lot more fun and a lot more going on. And I just don't think he has the hogs or the talent to do it. Like, everything was pretty simple, pretty vanilla, it felt like. And I think it's because they just lack the talent right now to really do anything too creative.
So we have a comment from YouTube. I am Stokes. How are you doing today, my man? You're always in the chat. We appreciate the support. But he has a question, and he says, do we see 250 passing yards from Fields this week? And I have a feeling that it does happen. So, do we?
I'll go 200.
I think 200. Because he's been inching closer, man. Like, well, last week he didn't have as many because obviously he had so many on the goddamn ground. But like, he's been getting more patient and better at finding receivers when stuff breaks down and he's not going to run. With the exception of the last three or four plays of last week, which, like, you know, everything was kind of done and dusted at that point.
And maybe he can get to 250, but the reason I'm hesitant on that is this offense just isn't going to pass that much.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean,
I think with it being like a game that they probably anticipate is going to be like a back and forth game, they're going to try and look to keep them off the field.
If we're sitting here honestly saying, like, the Falcons are the Bears, like, you know, I think Justin Fields is better than Marcus Mariota. Mariota's more seasoned. You know, he knows what he's doing a little more. And Mariota's only gone over 250 once this year, running a very similar offense in general, very similar run-pass splits and all that. And that was in the overtime game against Carolina. It took him overtime to hit 253 yards. Like, I don't think Fields is going to throw enough that it's really that easy to get to
get there. He's going to need someone to break one.
They're too run heavy for it. And so, they can't, they don't have the roster to be that pass heavy, I don't think.
So I just scrolled on to one of the apps that I will not name because no free ads, but I went right directly to the quarterback section, and they have his number at 177.5 this week. But there's some other lines that I think that you will find very interesting and some value in. So there's interceptions listed on this book. And Marcus Mariota to throw an interception is +110.
Oh, take it.
Oh, yeah. I'll take it. And then Super Sicko. Plus money bet of the week. I hope Joey's listening at this point, but Fields over 1.5 touchdown passes. I think, like, if you're thinking fantasy or you're thinking, like, am I going to get points from Justin Fields? I think it's a no-brainer at this point. Like, yeah, maybe he'll throw an interception or maybe he'll have a couple negative plays, but from what we've seen from strictly number one, from strictly QB1, he's playing a brand of winning football, right? It's not his fault that he's surrounded with shit. You can only push forward and push through so much BS, especially at the NFL level. It's like in college, he probably could have compensated and probably could have made up for it. But this is the NFL.
Two or more touchdowns in three straight games.
Yeah, and he's +200 to do it against the Falcons.
That's good. No sense. I'd take that.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And then his interception is over 110, under -120. So
for just a half interception?
Yeah, for Fields. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's fair.
I think in honor of taking the over, and we still don't like the over, I think I have to take the interceptions one. That's like when you take your pitcher to not give up a home run and you get belted on the first pitch of the game. It's like, you could think you're out of the, you know, you're in the green on that, and then it's like, oh, boom, Bears give up a late touchdown. Fields has got to go back out on the field and throw a Hail Mary, boop, interception on the last whistle.
Man, never bet against dingers. Mm-mm. Always bet four dingers.
No. Four dingers, because dingers are electric. But right now, I know I had mentioned we were watching Thursday night at the beginning of the show. The Packers are still losing. It's 14-6. And, yeah, if I can root for any team, it's a team that's playing the Packers and my Chicago Bears. That's about it in this league. And the Rams for my dad, okay? But we usually – they're never good when we're good, and we're never good when they're good. So it never intertwines. Except for that 2018. One year. Yeah, except for that one year. Of course, I went to that game, and that was honestly – here's a good segment. So we'll pick what our favorite Bears game that we've ever gone to, and – I mean, that'll segue me into mine right now. That game was fucking electric, and I think the score was like 13-9 or like 15-12 or something, like absolutely so disgusting that it was – I think there was like 6 or 7 turnovers. It was like 9 degrees out. Like, people were throwing snowballs everywhere. Like, it was just absolute chaos down at Soldier Field.
Yeah, so for me, I've only been to one Bears game in person. because tickets are so damn expensive. But
yeah, well, and you live in Texas too.
Yeah. In my adult life, it's been a lot harder than it was growing up. But even growing up, it was like I only went to one. It was 2006, so the year they went to the Super Bowl. Okay. Tampa Bay Bucks, week 15. They won in overtime, 34-31.
On a walk-off field. Walk-off field goal, right?
Yeah, I was sitting in the end zone that it went through, yeah.
Dude, I was at that game too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There you go. That's destiny.
I was at that game. Okay, here's a fun one. We'll double down. Who was the quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucks that day? Without looking, don't look. Because I think I know who it was. 06, I think it was Chris Sims that day, dude. I think it was. I have a feeling. Hold on, I'm gonna see. Look at now. We're definitely deep in the rabbit hole that we're looking at Chris Sims' fucking NFL playing career right now. But hold on. 06.
Yeah.
He was on the Bucks in 06. Oh, that's great. Okay. All right, so yeah.
Who started the game, though?
I didn't see who started. I'd have to look at his game log. Was it Chris Sims?
No. It was Tim Rattay started, and Bruce Gradkowski came on in relief.
See, dude, like we just...
That's what I was thinking when you said Chris Sims. I think that was the year
that he just died.
Yeah, where he lacerated his spleen.
Oh,
I think that was like a week or two before that game.
And now he just says dumb shit on Twitter about Justin Fields. Yeah. You know, well, who was it? Who was it this week? LeSean McCoy was.
Yeah, Shady McCoy.
Listen, LeSean, man, you didn't know how to hold the football right for 15 years of your career. We watch you hold that shit like a loaf of bread for your entire career. Don't talk about my quarterback like that.
I don't know why the Bills or the Lions haven't signed him yet, because he's the greatest snow game running back of all time.
So they moved that game to Ford Field.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm sad about that.
But I just remember that game that he had in Buffalo of like where it was like 3 feet of snow on the ground and he's just like trucking for 200 yards.
Still a 99 in speed, yeah. No. I mean, adding snow to a football field is just a perfect aesthetic, and then like it makes the football that much more chaotic, and I love it. But luckily for our Bears, this weekend we'll be in a nice cozy dome in warm Atlanta, Georgia. Against a team that, like, come on, let's get into a little bit of it. Like, what do you think for score prediction? Like, where do you think this one kind of sits at?
Let's see. Let me see what I put in my article.
Yeah, what does the meatball model say?
Oh, the meatball model says Bears 28-3.
Okay. That's good. That's good stuff.
The meatball model's always got a good number.
Dude, Ryan Tannehill looks like Joe Montana right now. This is great.
I got Bears 28, Falcons 27. Fields leading a game-winning drive at the end in front of his hometown, where in the stadium where his dad had season tickets, or actually it was probably the stadium before that where his dad had season tickets,
yeah.
But where he idolized Julio Jones, like this is personal for him. They passed on him in the draft needing a QB.
And then, too, think about this. Like, the way he's been playing, Michael Vick, man. There wasn't a kid that I knew in my school or on my football team or anybody anywhere, and we weren't even living in Atlanta, that did not just every time Vick was on, like a prime time or a game that we could watch, because that was, like, when we were kids, we didn't know what, like, DirecTV and all that was. I would always – that was appointment TV. And
– yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. To be down – oh, dude, there goes Henry. There goes Henry. Let's go. That's the run that we needed. Let's go.
That's the over. Let's go.
Oh, let's go, dude. I don't know if he got all the yards, but he got a lot of them right there. King Henry, man. You can always trust on a King Henry.
Tractorcito.
The Tractorcito. Oh, my God. All right, so defensively, where do you see us having some advantages, if any? Against this Falcons offense,
Eddie Jackson. I mean, that's about it.
Eddie Jackson. That's the tweet.
I mean, Jalen Johns is going to need to be on Drake London the whole game. It's going to be a tough matchup for. I mean, Drake London 6'4", 220 pounds. He's the size of a tight end. He's not going to separate from Jalen, so Jalen will be able to play him physical and tough. It's just how much that's going to matter against a guy who's 6'4", 220.
And he's gotten, like, back-to-back weeks where he's gotten in the end zone, I think, or He's been starting to play a little bit better.
Well, so London started the season super hot, and he's actually cooled off a little. Pitts, though, Kyle Pitts, I mean, they'll line him up outside. Like, I mean, they're gonna match him up with Gordon and Vildor and just get, like, disgusting matchups because, you know, neither one of those guys are as physical as Johnson or as sticky. And he's 6'6", 245. And he runs a god dang, like, 4.5. I think he ran a 4.42 or something in his pro day, which is probably a little juiced, but, like, he's, like, 4.5 speed.
Yeah.
At 6'6", 245.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to stop him, but, I mean, Eddie Jackson's going to need to intercept a ball, like a duck that's thrown up to center field. They need to count on that. And if they really want to, like, I'm thinking you need, I know you said five. I'm thinking anywhere from 3 to 5 defensive stops where, like, five. You know, in which I'm saying where you're not giving up either a field goal or a touchdown. 3 to 5 of those, and I think you can win this game. And one of those, at least one of those is going to have to be an interception because I just don't know how you're going to force them to punt that often unless they're just shooting themselves in the foot with penalties, which is possible.
Yeah, I regret to inform you that play was a pass. I am sorry. It was not a run. I looked up after he was sorry. You got a live raw reaction. I apologize. But yeah, and then he went and threw for a touchdown pass. So yeah, Derrick Henry might be the best football player in the history of football. But
on the bright side, their defense probably only has one or two spots where they have an advantage. I mean, Grady Jarrett is still – a heck of a pass rusher. He's a little older now. Doesn't quite have the same burst that he used to, but he's still pretty good.
Doesn't quite like playing for the Atlanta Falcons, what I've understood.
Daquan Jones, is it? Nose tackle out of Texas. He's stout against the run. He's solid, but the rest of their D-line's a little too light to really be run stuffers, and that's what, like, this defense wants to stuff the run, and, like, you can see it in their play. Like, the fire's there, but the mass just isn't there. Like, they just don't have the power to do it. AJ Terrell back this week.
Yeah, I saw that he's questionable.
Yeah, I think he's going to be back. I'd be surprised if there was this much talk around me. He wasn't back.
He was limited on Wednesday and today.
Okay. But he didn't have a good start to the year. He was outstanding last year, but he didn't look like the same player earlier this year. Maybe it was because he was playing injured and he took some time off and he'll come back good. But really, you need Claypool to start being a factor this week. I'm not judging a guy for not being a factor after a week and a half with the team in week two that he's there, or the second game that he's there. Third game, though, it's got to be ramping up.
Yeah, you got to find a way to get it done from here on out. But I got to go back. I didn't give a score prediction. So I'll say 31-28 because I think that, they're going to get their points. This is a game that defense is optional, and both teams really don't have – like they don't have the man mass. We just don't have the guys. We just don't have the guys to go out there to dominate. And right now we're still trying to find what guys are going to be worth keeping around moving forward, but – I think that Fields is getting pissed off losing, right? Like, this is the first time in his career that he's ever been on, like, a losing team, right? College, high school, all that. He's always been.
Well, outside last year.
Well, yeah, last year too, yeah. But, well, just as a Bear, just wearing the blue and orange, he's just, like, losing games at an unreal clip, making up for all those years that he was beating on everybody's son in, like, high school and college. But it's got to be eating away at him. And I think just like all those non-football factors that really don't mean a goddamn thing towards the game all actually do matter this week, right? Like, he's playing in front of his family. He's going back to his hometown. He's going to play up against the team that he grew up watching. Like, every single one of us as a kid dreamed about this moment, right? Maybe not going up against the team, maybe playing for the team. But the second closest thing to that is going up against the team and seeing, like, hey, can I go and beat the team that I spent the first 18 years of my life, or maybe 20 in his case, maybe he was still a Falcons fan in college, rooting for down at their place like that? And then too, you throw in the fact that they skipped them. They didn't want them, which if we do a redraft, like Fields is probably going two, maybe one.
Yeah, maybe one.
Maybe one. So, because I know Lawrence has kind of come along a little bit this year, but yeah, a lot of just like extra factors that all bode well and bode towards like Justin Fields having that type of performance this week.
Yeah, I don't remember from QB1 if Fields, I want to say they lost in like the semifinals or something, but yeah. If they got to the state championship, he's probably played in this stadium for that.
What do you think about that? Yeah, if they did.
But I want to say in QB1 Beyond the Lights, they lost in like the semifinals or something.
Yeah. But I think that, I don't know, the Bears always have this type of skid every year, right? But you have to find a way to win these one possession in these close games. And right now, you know, last week the ball doesn't roll our way. A couple other weeks we just, you know, we fall short. But I think the way you look at the schedule moving forward, so this week obviously you got the Falcons at home. And it opens up. You got kind of a couple, you know, easier games than the last few that we've played, like against teams like the Dolphins and the Cowboys. Like you play the Falcons at home or at Atlanta. You play the Jets at Atlanta. And then you play the Packers at home. The next game that we play at Soldier Field is against Aaron Rodgers, and hopefully it's a swan song. Following the Packers, they get a much-needed bye week in Week 14, which should be illegal to have a bye week that late in the season because it's like, God, our season is already fucking cooked. Like, nothing else matters. And then Week 15, Eagles, Bills, Lions, Vikings. So, yeah. Find a way to win one of these next two games, please, so we're not just sitting here looking at this team, you know, losing 5-6 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I have to believe Fields is going to put an end to it somewhere before that. Like, he's just going to, you know, pull out the big stick and say, no, we're not losing this game. Like,
yeah,
it happens every now. Like, when you have a player of the caliber that we think Fields is, every now and then they just do that. And I have to believe he's going to do it at some point in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
If not this week.
It's got to be this week. Offensive key player of the game for this week.
Give me Chase Claypool. I need something from him because I can't have AJ Terrell just following around Darnell Mooney all game and no answer to it.
Okay. What about defense?
Defense? I know I go this guy a lot, but it's Eddie. Okay. If the Bears are going to win this game, Eddie needs to make at least one play on the ball that results in a turnover.
Okay. Yeah, so for me on offense, I am going to go – I'm going to go Monty, dude. Monty always seems to show out against the Falcons. I don't know if there's that many games to go off of, but I just feel like the Falcons are a team that just get – they just get owned by Monty. And he hasn't really had the last few weeks like the type of games that you would expect from him, right? And
yeah,
Khalil Herbert
carries.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert is out. He's on IR for the next 4 weeks. So that means that Treston Ebner will probably get some carries. But I think
see Darrington Evans.
Yeah, Darrington Evans too. But instead of going like how they were doing the carry share with it being Herbert and Montgomery, I think you probably see like 75 Montgomery, 25% the other guys.
So yeah, Monty's going to be your bell cow this week, the next few weeks.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think that Monty gets over the 100-yard mark this week for the first time in a few weeks, and I think he finds the end zone as well. On the defensive side of the ball, fuck it, I'm gonna go Statue Man. I think that – so while we've talked about all the turnovers and all the chaos that we need to create on defense in order for Marcus Mariota to give us a couple gifts, I think sending a guy like Jack Sanborn or maybe Nicholas Morrow on these blitzes to create that pressure, because very rarely do you have an unprovoked turnover, right? Like that wasn't created by pressure or wasn't created by some – well, yeah, just literally pressure, you know what I'm saying? Even on a fumble, the pressure of, you know, people, everybody coming down on the ball and someone's punching it out, the ball squeaks out. But, yeah, I truly think that with this team, offensively, defensively, like they're probably a little bit better than them on paper. But right now we're in that kind of skid where it's like, I know those guys probably aren't holding their heads too high or too low, but they got to know that they're a lot better of a team than would indicate on paper, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. One other note I just thought of on Eddie. So I think a big thing this week is going to be you got to limit their explosive runs. Like they're going to get theirs in the run game, but you got to limit them to 5 to 10 yards. Not 15 to 20. And that's how you keep putting the ball back in their hands and say, try, do it again. That's how you end up getting the mistakes you need. And Eddie has been so good this year, like so good at being that last line of defense without giving up an explosive play against the run, like coming up, making the tackle at 8 yards, 9 yards, cleanly making the tackle with no one behind him, where it's just him and the running back one-on-one, and he makes the stop. Like, it's not counted as a stop by anywhere. It's one of the problems with evaluating safeties, especially on numbers, is, like, doesn't show up anywhere on the stat sheet.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good that his tackle is 10 yards past the line of scrimmage, but he's a safety. That play could have been for 50 yards. He kept it to 10. It's something that he has been outstanding at this year, and it's something he needs to keep doing this week, and it's going to be more important than ever this week against this run offense.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that, I mean, still probably going to be a close game, still going to be a game that might be a little mad when we get on here because maybe they do end up dropping it by one possession. But I think that, you know, we've always talked about a 3 points, that's a pick 'em line for – a home team, right? And pretty even on paper. Throw the Ryan Poles little beef in there, even though they probably don't even have beef, but just the, you know, job beef.
Ryan Pace is in a win-win on Sunday.
Yeah.
If the Bears win, he is a proud father who's sitting there saying, man, Justin Fields, Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson, Eddie Jackson, these are all my guys. If the Bears lose, his new franchise won. He's in a win-win spot.
Fuck that chiseled jawline, bro. Do you have any final thoughts for this week's show?
Just going to harp home the homecoming aspect, man. I think it's one of the coolest things in football. The first time you go play the team that you grew up watching, that you grew up idolizing, like in Justin Fields' case, that you grew up going to every home game with your dad too. Like, I mean, that's such a cool aspect and something that needs to be really just have a light shined on it. I think it's incredible.
I wonder if his dad's a diehard like that and is rooting for the Falcons.
Maybe. Do you remember Roquan Smith's mom the day he got drafted?
Uh-oh.
The video of her? She's like someone was asking her what she thought of him going to the Bears. She's like, better if it was the Falcons.
Mom, say the damnedest things. And then you always see the funny ones with the recruiting videos too, for college. But yeah, I think that winnable game, hostile environment in a dome, but an environment that I think Justin Fields can thrive in. I think that this will honestly almost have like a college football type feel just because it's going to be that type of game. But you have to realize that some of the small things that beat us over the last few weeks, like young Wei Koo's not going to miss an extra point. I say that after a week that he did miss one, because I think he did miss one last week. But that's a guy that's
Cairo Santo's not going to miss an extra point.
Yeah. Well, I just think that there's always a little bit of something about a team playing at home that gives you a little bit of an edge. Maybe not too much. Obviously, they're all professional athletes, but I'm sure that place gets rocking on a Sunday for a Falcons game, even though Chick-fil-A is not even open. So, yeah, it makes you think. Man.
You remember the Eric Berry game in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah.
First time that he came home to play in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that game was incredible. Eric I want to see that.
Eric Berry was probably, like, the biggest safety that came into the NFL after Sean Taylor. Like, that was just a huge, huge dude, like, safety.
Yeah.
But, yeah, win, lose, or draw, we'll be back with you guys Sunday afternoon, right after the final whistle. Hopefully it doesn't have us pulling hairs out of our head like it did last week against the Lions. But both Quinn and I, whether it was his meatball model or his real prediction, we both have the Bears winning. It was already set on air, so you can't take it back. But Bears winning this one close, both, I think you said 28-27.
Yeah.
28-27, and I had 31-28. So high-scoring affair, a lot of points, little defense, should be shootout, should be fun. And like I said, win, lose, or draw, we'll be back with you guys here on the other side. You can follow Quentin at ButkusStats. You can follow myself at BDown300. And then don't forget to follow our main account at BearsOnTap. Really do appreciate you for tuning into this evening's show. Make sure to come join us again on Sunday. We'll be here to recap, hopefully, a Bears victory to end the streak. I got nothing else for you guys. And bear down.
Bear down.